Patients with major traumatic injuries fare just as well if they're given basic life support, or BLS, by paramedics than if they are given advanced life support, or ALS, according to the Ontario Pre-Hospital Advanced Life Support Study, or OPAL study. The results, published in the April 22, 2008 edition of the Canadian Medical Association Journal, also suggest that basic life support is better than advanced life support for a subset of patients with the most severe injuries. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Ian Steele, emergency medicine physician at the Ottawa Hospital, professor, health research chair, and chair of the Department of Emergency Medicine at the University of Ottawa, senior scientist and chair of emergency medicine research at the Ottawa Health Research Institute, and lead Ontario Pre-Hospital Advanced Life Support Study investigator. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And this was a very interesting study because it's sort of tipped over the assumptions that thinking that advanced is better than basic. And I wanted to ask you first off, what are some of the differences between basic life support and advanced life support?
Sure, that's a good question. So in Ontario, like many places in the U.S. and Canada, the paramedics who respond in ambulances to look after people outside hospital have generally, speaking, two levels of care. The basic life support or primary care paramedics in Ontario are very well trained through a one-year community college course, and they can do a lot of things. They can do CPR, they can defibrillate if your heart goes into an irregular rhythm, they can ventilate, they can do ECGs, and they can administer some medications called symptom relief drugs. So if you're having an asthma attack, they can give you a spray, an allergic reaction, they can give you a shot of adrenaline. So they can do actually quite a few things. There's a more complicated or complex level called advanced life support or advanced care paramedics who have additional training that allow them to start an intravenous line to give you intravenous drugs for pain or to start your heart or something along that line, and also to put an advanced airway down your throat into the trachea to help help you breathe.
When was ALS introduced in Ontario, and what were the expectations when it was introduced? Was it believed that at the time this would provide better outcomes for care?
It was introduced in a few cities in the late 80s in Ontario, with the kind of expectation that more care outside a hospital will lead to better outcomes of patients. We all want the patients to do better. Everybody agrees on that. And this followed a model from the United States that actually started probably right after the Vietnam War, where they did a lot of helicopter transports of injured soldiers to the base.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'd say this whole idea of advanced paramedics really got their start. The problem is that it does cost the province and the cities more money to train and equip these folks. And when we looked at this in the early 90s, there was very little research or evidence to show that it actually did improve outcomes of patients. It's intuitive that it would, but there was very little evidence that it actually did make a big difference.
So now you've had, this is the OPAL's program or study is to look at various aspects of emergency care. This, in fact, we think was in the recent edition of the Canadian Medical Association Journal, the third of four studies looking at the use of ALS under different criteria and scenarios. And before we get to the third study, I just wanted our listeners to understand what the first two studies were and sort of very briefly the outcomes of those, then looking at the third study or the third scenario.
Sure. Yeah, in 1994, the province funded a pretty big research study to look at the benefits of advanced life support. And we called that study the OPAL study. And it went on for almost 10 years. And it looked at, in particular, at four groups of very ill or injured patients that paramedics have to deal with We looked at cardiac arrest. Those are patients whose heart actually stops beating. We looked at those who are having trouble breathing. We looked at those with chest pain. And then finally, we also looked at those who had been in an accident and had been badly injured. And that's the one that was just recently published. In cardiac arrest, which is fatal within 10 minutes if not well treated, we studied 6,000 patients and found that the advanced life support measures actually did not make any difference. No more patients survive than without them. And that's because what it takes for a patient to survive after a cardiac arrest is a complicated chain of survival, it's called. Every town and city needs to try to have four strong links in the chain of survival, starting with 911, followed by bystander CPR, followed by very rapid defibrillation or applying of shock, and then finally the advanced life support step. So if any of the earlier steps or links in the chain are weak, it doesn't make any difference how good the or how fast the paramedics get there. And we found that really that if you are not, if somebody's not starting CPR within minutes or a defibrillator is not applied to a patient within minutes, then unfortunately it's too late for the paramedics to do anything by the time they get there. So that sort of set a bit of light on what it will take to save more lives for cardiac arrest.
Now, what was the third study's design, and what was the definition of major trauma?
Okay, well, major trauma, patients who had been injured in typically in an accident, most often motor vehicle accidents, but they could have fallen off a ladder or down a flight of stairs, various ways that people are injured. And these are people that were so badly injured, either their head or their chest or internal injuries or major fractures, that they had to be transferred to one of the 12 trauma centers in the province. For example, in Ottawa, we have one trauma center, which is at the Civic Campus of the Ottawa Hospital. So we looked at patients over a six-year period who were so bad they had to be taken to one of those hospitals. Right. And we looked at the 3 years, 3 years without advanced care paramedics in 17 cities across Ontario. And then we looked at the 3 years after the advanced care paramedics were looking after them to see if we could find a difference in survival or outcomes. And to our surprise, we found that there was no improvement at all in the survival of patients. So that was a bit sobering, to say the least.
So that begs the question, especially since you mentioned this was a surprise, that what are some of the hypotheses as to why the advanced life support group for these given situations didn't fare better than the basic life support group?
Well, I think it corroborates a hypothesis that when you're badly injured, the definitive treatment has to be given in the hospital and in many cases in the operating room. And there is a philosophy that the goal should be to stabilize the patient but get them to the trauma center as fast as possible. And the advanced care paramedics were actually not any slower than the primary care paramedics, despite doing additional things. But it seems that for the most part, the advanced life support measures of intravenous line and advanced airway didn't really make any difference. So it sort of raised the question of what does a community need to do to look after those kind of folks.
And so has this result changed the standard of care, or at least introduced new protocols for specific emergency situations where the data demonstrates that BLS is as effective as ALS, and just get those patients to the hospital?
Well, I think these results were just published, but a lot of folks in the know have been aware of them for a few years. And I think in the Ottawa area, the people who run the paramedic service and the medical directors were aware of this, and I think they have emphasize to their paramedics the importance of getting the patients quickly to the hospital. So I think they were ahead of the game, certainly in Ottawa, in recognizing the priorities some years ago, and have already reacted to it. I suppose a lot of other places weren't aware of our findings, and I know that we've had a lot of inquiries from around the country and from some places in the U.S. wanting to better understand what mm-hmm. we found and are reassessing their protocols locally.
And finally, what are the next steps in the study process? What are your plans with regards to advancing this understanding of ALS and BLS and the circumstances under which they work best?
That's a really good question. Because I keep pretty busy working as a doctor and doing the research.
Right.
And then we're talking about, you know, what do you do with the research findings. And that, I guess, is up to the emergency medical services and their medical directors in each town and city throughout the country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The evidence is there. Like most things, it's not completely black and white.
Right.
You know, we didn't look at small rural communities. All our towns and cities were medium size. So, but I think that there's a pretty clear message, though, that for trauma patients, you want to get them to the trauma center as quickly as you can. And I think most cities will reinforce that message if they haven't already done so.
Dr. Ian Steele is emergency medicine physician at the Ottawa Hospital, professor, health research chair, and chair of the Department of Emergency Medicine at the University of Ottawa, senior scientist and chair of the Emergency Medicine Research at the Ottawa Health Research Institute, and lead OPALS, the Ontario Pre-Hospital Advanced Life Support Study investigator. And Dr. Steele, I'd like to thank you very much for explaining BLS, ALS, the circumstances under which they work well, and how evaluating sometimes what we assume to be a better process sometimes ends up being counterintuitive and surprises us, and yet we learn a lot from that. And I appreciate your time explaining this to us.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.